Ashraf, as an African, I would most certainly classify this as a win for Africa, our neighbor. I mean, talk to us the significance of Zimbabwe's election to the Security Council. What is the signal about perhaps Africa's growing influence in global governance? Or is that a step a bit too far yet?
Well, it's always good. You know, amongst IR scholars, you know, the UN Security Council is always the holy grail, the apex of power. And since the end of World War II, that's 80 years ago, the five members, permanent, the P5, still occupy the upper echelon of world power. And I think over the last decade, and especially in the last few years with the Trump administration, the UN Security Council is under immense scrutiny. But nonetheless, the modality or mechanism is that you have the P5, and only the P5 can make decisions around the big major issues, but also only the P5 has what is called a veto power. And that is the big deal in IR these days. But nonetheless, you know, since the 70s, you've always had rotating members drawn from the global south in all continents, and they then participate on an annual basis. Every 2 years, they are elected to sit on the UNSC. And it's a long cycle. In fact, I think you mentioned Zimbabwe. The last time they made it was in the early 90s, 30 years ago. And South Africa only, I think, twice, the last being 2018 and 2019. So it really is a big deal for the continent.
So 30 years ago, that's a significant period. Now, if some would ask, why Zimbabwe? It's not a straightforward answer, or is it?
Well, it's significant for the following reasons. I think the last African country was Somalia in the last 2 years. But we must also remember that everything is about the power, asymmetrical power of the P5. And we've seen that in the current Gaza genocide. We've seen it in the Ukraine war. And we've also seen it in the current war on Iran in the Middle East and the energy crisis, where P5 members meet regularly. And from time to time, there is a vastly different views of the conflict. This time around, the U.S. is on its own. Most of the P5 resolutions, only the U.S. is the sole nation that either wants to veto or don't agree with the others. So there is a shift. For Africa, it's important mainly because it's like back to the future. We have more conflicts and wars and civil wars in Africa these days than we've had them, let's say, 30 years ago. So there is a very dim and very depressing situation regarding the Africa and the inability of the Africa Union to mediate in these conflicts. And remember, that is fueled by what is called the new scramble for critical minerals. And the DRC conflict is a prime example of a war around critical minerals and the involvement of geopolitical actors.
We do know, Ashraf, from a Global South perspective and from a BRICS perspective, Zimbabwe is increasingly interested in also joining the BRICS economic bloc. It has close ties to Russia, very close ties to China, and also has close economic ties to both of those said countries. So with Zimbabwe's presence now in the council, Canada in somehow and in some way maybe help shape or influence debates from a Global South perspective. You think so? Maybe? No?
Yes, I would say Zimbabwe punches above its weight in SADC. You know, from the Mugabe days, they've always had a bravado approach to foreign relations. But you must remember that even amongst the liberation movements that were closer to the old USSR bloc, Zimbabwe and ZANU-PF were always close to China. Now, that was an interesting historical link, and that continues today. In fact, most of the mining investments are Chinese corporations, and even in the last few years, the Zimbabwean government has even put conditionalities to say that they need to add value to the minerals and beneficiation. So that is taking place. I think Zim will definitely be closer to China and Russia on the UN P5 on matters, but also they would act in African interests, meaning that Africa will come before the large superpowers. And there, I think, you know, they will work in alignment with SADC. We as South Africa has fairly good relations with Zimbabwe, and I do see a kind of common African position emerging, especially around, first and foremost, the need to have peace in the Sudan, in the DRC. The Ebola crisis is a present crisis that needs significant investment in pandemic support, and then other simmering conflicts, especially in West Africa, with extremism, the jihadist conflict with the Nigerian government, the Sahel, and then northern Mozambique around oil and gas. These are going to be flashpoints, and the more these conflicts fester, the worse it is for peace, for development, and for sustainability.
Do you think it's perhaps an interesting aspect to consider that member states supported Zimbabwe's bid, despite, you know, in some Western circles and some within the global north, still classify Zimbabwe as a country with a very controversial reputation? And I think that probably still extends to ZANU-PF and the late Robert Mugabe.
Yes, yes, definitely. Those will always be part of the historical discourse. But you must remember, there is a strong modernization of ZIM in the last decade. For instance, they have resolved the returning of farms that were illegally confiscated, and they've kind of aligned to the EU demands, and they've done that quite smoothly, to their credit. And that has boosted their agriculture as well, while also developing a new class of black farmers. So it was kind of a win-win at the end. And then going forward, you know, an interesting development is, by contrast, Germany did not get elected to the UNSC, and that was a diplomatic kind of defeat for Germany. They were expecting a seat. I think they last held the seat over 20 years ago, and they really needed this as a boost, because you must remember that globally there are few countries, Germany, Japan, India, Brazil, South Africa, Indonesia. These nations really want a permanent seat on the UN Security Council and are investing significantly in lobbying the General Assembly members for that. So this is a setback for that agenda, in a sense that Germany took very difficult positions, and in the view of the Global South, they were punished because they had a different view on the Gaza vis-a-vis the Ukraine conflict, and now more recently with the kidnapping of President Maduro of Venezuela, they kind of given that a green nod. And so they didn't come clear on how they value international law. And I think they were punished for that, as well as the massive cuts in development aid and their support for Israel. I think all of this factored into the Global South votes, and Germany just couldn't make it and instead was replaced by Portugal and Austria.
Is there a likelihood that, from this perspective now, Zimbabwe may have some sort of additional diplomatic pull that would see it play a role where it could simmer tensions, particularly amongst major powers, the United States, China, and Russia, but I think more so United States and China? Or would others argue, but hang on, with Zimbabwe's relationship to the People's Republic of China, we're not expecting much, because they probably would be biased in favor of China.
Yes, remember, most global south nations are aligned to one of the superpower blocks, and a lot of aid and trade and investment flows from that. So ZIM is a good example. China-ZIM is a solid relationship, whereas Taiwan and Eswatini is another opposing bloc. But what I see going forward is South Africa will definitely also play some leadership role in the region. We host the SADC summit this year in August. South Africa is the chair of the AU Security Council for the next 2 years. And we would work closely with Zimbabwe in alignment on the big conflict issues in Africa. So I think the major powers are definitely contestation around African minerals, and there's conflicts there. But there has to be a resolution on especially Sudan, the DRC, South Sudan, and especially the Sahel. And that is one of the biggest challenges in facing both Africa and Europe. There's mass migration because of the climate crisis, but also the massive violence in the Sahel and the Sahara. And that would be major challenges. And the UN Security Council makes lots of rulings on those. And definitely regarding Middle East, you know, ZIM and other countries would definitely weigh in on the cost of living crisis, the high cost of energy. I think those issues would feature.
So, Ashraf, we're hoping that Zimbabwe could amplify the voice of Africa, and predominantly, you've mentioned it now, the two ongoing genocides on the African continent, DRC, Congo, as well as Sudan, because that requires some major attention, not only on the African continent, but from a global perspective. So challenges, what do you think that Zimbabwe may face when taking perhaps a principled stance or position on maybe some contentious issues and international crises? Let's look at the genocide in Gaza. Where do you think its stance would be? Would it compromise?
No. Zimbabwe is definitely part of the global south. And it on all their resolutions on Palestine, they have been steadfast, just as South Africa has been. The historical liberation kind of journey continues. And definitely now with the rise of China, they seem to have gotten more emboldened as the U.S. withdraws from Africa or have very, very stringent, difficult relations through the Trump administration and the draconian free trade agreements, etc. So Zimbabwe is in what is called a sweet spot in international relations. A lot of the elements have converged in its favor, and it would be interesting. Look, 2 years is a bit of a short time, but in the field of the need to find solutions to massive conflicts on the continent, every day counts. So I think it would be now make the SADC summit a much more important summit this year in South Africa, and relations are strong. Remember, we also negotiating very difficult migration challenges and xenophobia challenges, and ZIM is very much part of that. Mozambique conflicts with jihadists versus multinational corporations around oil and gas, that will continue, and also maritime security is another major issue. So these will all kind of segue into the UN General or Security Council agenda, and nations that are on the agenda have that privilege in elevating their regional conflicts onto the agenda of the UNSC. I think that is the big benefit of being on the cycle of the UNSC.
A two-year weighty responsibility essentially rests on the shoulders of our neighbors, Zimbabwe. Mr. Ashraf Patel, Global South Analyst and Geopolitical Analyst, as always, Ashraf, Jazakallah, thanks so much.